turn, do one other thing, and we'll go ahead and get started. Amen. One of the things I want to start off with today after prayer, I want to go over one of the questions from last quiz 9, because we didn't really cover that really well. But we're going to start off with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you in Jesus' name that this is the day that you have made. We thank you, Lord God, for our apostle, Lord God. We thank you for our visionary, Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr., and this vision, Lord God, of ever-increasing Word Training Center, and that we're getting all the instruction, all the information we need that we can go out, Lord God, and be fruitful and multiply, that we can go out, Lord God, and turn this world upside down, Lord God. Hallelujah. And we just give you all the praise and all the glory for what you're doing by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, I'm going to go over a quiz question. I had two or three students text me concerning the question, and I just want to anytime you have a question about a quiz question or a test question after the fact or with the test question, just text me, go through the texting system. I generally get it a day or two later or the same day if I get it. If I'm in a position to answer you right back, I try to do so, because it's our intent to definitely make sure you get the information. One of the things the Lord shared with me years ago, well, when I was a student, he said, the grades are important because the grades are a measuring stick of how well you're doing. He said, but even if you bomb out on a test, he said, make sure you understand the information that's being put out. He said, because, you know, you could make 100 on a test and don't really grasp the information. You just memorize something. But all of a sudden, now you're attacked by the devil and you holding up that 100 paper. And he said, devil, I made 100 on that test, but, you know, but if it's not in your spirit, it's not going to do you no good. So you always want to make sure you get it down into your spirit, man. Amen? Okay, the question I'm going to go over states, it says, within a ministry, anytime you have the seed of dishonor being sown, within a ministry, anytime you have the seed of dishonor being sown, most of the time it will proceed. And the answer to that was a tremendous spiritual breakthrough. And the reason being, the enemy will try to come against a ministry or an individual right before the breakthrough of a whole new level of what God is doing in a person's life and our ministry. And he'll have people come and sow seeds of dishonor, disrespect. And one of the things we learned about dishonor and disrespect, if it's not dealt with, if it's not nipped in the bud right then and there, it can become contagious, because you have busybodies, you have people who shoo-shooing and saying this. And even though it's not true, it's bringing deception. It's almost like a smoke screen. And it could hinder what God is doing in the ministry. I'm a prelude that with something that's happened here recently in the news concerning the First Family. As you know, every year the president does a little traditional thing with the turkey. I think it's the pardoning of the turkey or something in that respect. Anyway, his two daughters was beside him, and one lady who was, I guess, I don't know what her title was. I didn't get into all of that. But anyway, she began to criticize the president's daughters for, you know, not being more attentive about the clothes they wore, you know, 16 and 13 years old or something like that. But that was disrespect in a high level, because here's a man who God has who's put in a position over a country, actually the most powerful man from the natural point of view in the world. And you're going to come against his family. The minute I said that, when I saw that, first thing in my mind is, you know, something's going to be done about it. And sure enough, I was looking on the internet today. She resigned. She didn't resign. She got fired. She got fired, you know. Now, when you turn that over in the natural, I mean in the spiritual, when you disrespect a man of God or even the First Family, you're actually coming against that man of God, you know, because God has placed him in a position, and you're to honor them and to respect the office that has been placed on them, you know, to be leaders, to be examples, and not to be, you know, putting out false information or your own personal opinion. You know, if you don't like it, just shut up. You know, one of the things we learned early is you don't want to put your mouth on a man of God. You know, and getting back to this question, you know, a lot of times the enemy will try to come against the ministry right before a tremendous breakthrough is about. And he'll sow seeds, try to sow seeds through people, seeds of dishonor and disrespect to hinder, to block, to distort what God is doing. Amen. Okay, we're going to continue on in the book. And we're going to be talking today more so about Noah. And we're going to really break it down about Noah and his three sons and what God, you know, what they did and how disrespect was shown, but at the same time, how honor was shown. And I'm going to be reading a little bit from Genesis chapter 9, going through verse 1 and then going down to various other aspects of the in Genesis. It says here in Genesis 9, it says in 1, it says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, Be fruitful." Well, hold up. That's where I wanted to go. He says, "Be fruitful and replenish the earth." This sounds very similar to what God told Adam in Genesis 1. God told Adam in Genesis 1 to be fruitful and to multiply, to populate the earth, to subdue it. You know, he told Adam, he gave Adam dominion. And here Noah now is repopulating the earth. And God tells him to be fruitful and to multiply. So God gives Noah a mandate. And then it goes on. It says that these are the sons of Noah, and they were there to populate or to overspread the earth. And Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered in his tent. That's 9 and 20, 21. And Ham, the father of Cana, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers without. So Ham saw his father exposed in his tent. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it up on their shoulders and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces went backwards, where as they walked backwards, they saw not the nakedness of their father. So basically what the two sons did was they covered the nakedness of their father. Verse 24 says, "And Noah woke from the wine, and he knew what the younger son had done to him." Verse 25, "And he said, Curse be Cana, a servant of servants shall be unto his brethren. And he blessed, and he said, Blessed be the God of Shem, and Cana shall be his servant. And he enlarged Japheth, and he shall dwell in his tent, and the tent of Shem, and Cana shall be his servant." Noah was giving a mandate by God, as we stated earlier, and that mandate was to populate or to repopulate the earth, and just like Adam, to dominate, to replenish the earth and subdue it. And the reason being is because God always wanted a people that was going to serve him. And we know that Noah found grace with God. So up until that time, there was a lot of sin upon the earth. God destroyed the world, as we know, with water. But because Noah found grace with God, God used Noah and his family to repopulate the earth after the flood. Because, like I said, God always wants a people that's going to serve him, that's going to honor, and that's going to respect him. It says here, well, and we read it earlier. Well, let me move on because I've already talked about that. The Bible says that Noah began to be a husbandman or a gardener, and he planted a vineyard. And we know wine comes from grapes. Now, one of the things that was unique about this, just eating grapes, you don't get drunk. But when you take those grapes and you mash them and you let the juice from that ferment over a period of time, And over the process, it turns into a wine. So the reason why I stated that was it just didn't happen just like that. It was something, it was a sideline project that Noah had in addition to the mandate that God had given him. The mandate was to repopulate the earth, but Noah got intoxicated. It says here, the Bible says that Noah began to be a husbandman or a gardener, and he planted a vineyard and made some wine and became inebriated or drunk and lost his focus of what God's purpose was for his life, and he became uncovered. Because whenever you drift away from what God has called you to do, you can become uncovered or drift away from your God-given destiny and get inebriated or get drunk or get lose focus doing what God has called you to do. You don't just get drunk from eating grapes, as I stated earlier. There's a process of fermentation. It takes a while for that to develop. And so a lot of times it's something that's conceived and thought out, and then the process goes, and all of a sudden now he's being intoxicated with the fruit or the grapes or the wine from the grapes. So Noah, it took time for this to happen. The byproduct of his anointing was a sideline ministry, which was totally opposite of the mandate that God had told him to do. Anytime you have an individual who goes away from the corporate God-given mandate and the anointing that God has, you know, put upon their lives, they get, I guess just the word I want to use is they get caught up in a project or a sideline ministry totally. And then what happens is, you know, your anointing and your gift and what God has called you to do, you're more anointed doing what God called you to do than any other time in your life. But if you get lose focus and start doing something else, even though it may be good in ministry. Now Noah did something, and I want to stick with the fact that he was uncovered and that, you know, there was a disrespect there. But at the same time, one of the things we're going to see in a few minutes is that it's very important for fathers to set a good example. Natural fathers and even more so spiritual fathers, because their sons are going to be a product of their influence. Their sons are going to be basically a byproduct of them, you know, a chip off the block because of the association, because of the connection that they have. A son is gonna have a lot of the same attributes and mannerisms and virtues and attitudes that the father has. So it's very important for the father to make sure that he sticks with, you know, a certain level of dignity, a certain level of integrity, because he's training his sons, and that's so very important. Anytime you have an individual who goes away from the corporate God-given mandate and the anointing, they become inebriated on the byproduct of their gift, this sideline ministry that God did not ordain. So Noah was told to dominate or to repopulate the earth and to build a vineyard. But as we know, he got intoxicated with a sideline ministry. Anytime we become intoxicated with sideline ministry, we lose focus. We don't see straight. You know, a lot of cameras have a focusing ring. And when you focus that camera on an individual or an object, it's focused for that distance. Now, when you turn it to the side and start trying to view something else with that camera that's at a different distance, it gets out of focus. You can see it, but it's not clear. And so when you start looking away from what God has called you to do, you get out of focus. And you lose the perspective. And that's what happened to Noah, to stay on course, to stay on target of what God called him to do. A ministry that loses focus They lose focus on God's mandate. They become intoxicated like Noah with a sideline ministry, and they become uncovered, not uncovered in the world, but they become uncovered in their own tent or inside the church. It's one thing to be uncovered in the world while, where you drift off into worldly things. You know, you're working in ministry, you're doing something, and you lose focus, but you lose focus and you drift off into the world. A lot of times in ministry, God will call you to do a specific thing, or gift you or give you a talent, whether that's a singing talent, whether that's an organizational gift, whether that's, you know, supportive ministry, working in the ministry of helps, and you're anointed and gifted in that area. But you might like to teach, or you might like to, you want to start a teaching ministry and open up a teaching center, something God didn't call you to do. Well, you're losing focus. And even though something may seem attractive, if it wasn't what God initially called you to do, you're drifting away from your God-given destiny. I can remember years ago when I guess I'd been here at the ministry for about maybe 10, 15 years. And one of the things I learned from this situation I'm about to explain is to watch your man of God closely. And when he makes a turn and he makes a move, you turn and you move with him. You know, whatever direction he's going, you need to follow and watch him closely. I remember when he was doing a lot of ministry with other ministers and big arenas and going places. And I would make plans and fly, drive, and go wherever he was going. And so I would look at, I knew where he was traveling and who he was ministering with. So whenever I saw that they had a meeting, I would, you know, just make my reservations. I would go. And I remember this one meeting I went to, and I didn't see my pastor. I didn't see the apostle. But I said, well, maybe he got busy. So I went, stayed to the meeting. And I did that two or three other times, and I wasn't seeing him. And he wasn't advertising anymore. Well, you probably heard him say that the dad came a time where the Lord told him to come out of the big churches and to start ministering, you know, more on the local level and ministering and start imparting into his sons. Well, because I wasn't following close, I saw myself drifting in an area where I shouldn't have been. Wasn't doing nothing wrong, but God told me, as I said, several classes ago, God told me, this is where you need to be. You know, he told me very vividly, and I know it just like I know the palm of my hand. This is where you need to be. In other words, I have called you, and I've appointed you here. You know, and in the process of following, I wasn't as keen as following as close. And I found myself drifting. And it affected me even to the point I'm sitting in church, but I'm not receiving like I'm supposed to receive because I wasn't following close enough. You know, so you want to stay on your God-ordained mandate and not drift off, because when you drift off, you become intoxicated with something else that God didn't, you know, that's not his plan and that's not his purpose for you. Amen. Noah did not become uncovered, as I said, in the world. He became uncovered in his own tent, you know, or in the church. It's one thing to let the world cause you to drift and cause you to go off in left field. But it's even more deceptive when you're still serving God. But like I said, you're never going to be as anointed as doing what God called you to do. I mean, that's where your anointing lies. If God called you a particular area, that's the area, and that's what you need to continue to stay focused in. God may call you to work in the ministry of helps in a church or get involved in supportive ministries. But you have a vision, you know, of teaching or opening up a church or something. But if you're not equipped and ordained to do it, you're actually working in your own ability. You're actually the Bible talks about watering it with your foot. You're laboring where it should be sweatless. Because whenever God calls an individual to do something, he's going to equip them and anoint them and give them everything they need to carry out that assignment. But when you veer off from that, well, then you're doing it in your own ability and you're not doing it in his strength. What happens is that you become uncovered, not in the world, but in the tent. You lose your covering by stepping in an area that you're not ordained or are equipped for. Because, you know, God didn't give you those particular attributes to carry that out. God cannot bless what he did not ordain. The Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. So if the Lord is not building that house, you need to get off of that project. You know, you need to get off, you know, of whatever you're doing that the Lord didn't ordain. If the Lord is building the house, all the material, all the anointing, everything you need to carry out that assignment is going to be at your disposal. Watch what happens next. The Bible says Ham came into the tent and saw the nakedness of his father. He saw his father uncovered, naked and exposed. When Ham saw his father uncovered, it opened the avenue for Ham also to be uncovered. Now, that's very important. When he saw his father, the nakedness of his father, if he didn't do something about it, that nakedness, because that was his father, the author goes into it a little bit more. He says, because it was your father, or because it's your father, if your father can get away with something, or, you know, he was drinking the wine and he got intoxicated, then the son feels that he can also get away with the same thing. That's why even in the natural, it's very important for fathers to set a good example for their sons and their daughters. Because, you know, going back to the expression I said, a chip off the block. You know, I heard people always say the apple don't fall far from the tree. You know, what you see in life as an example, if you know, it's going to influence you. It's going to influence you. And a father always should set a good example for the sons. And I thank God that with the apostle here, we have a prime example of a man of God who knows how to do it right, who submitted, who labored, and stuck on the trail that God called him to do. Even when there was ridicule, there was persecution, he did what God called him and is doing what God called him to do. And you see the fruits of the labor, you know. And that's why we have no excuse here, you know, as students, as LTMA members, as members in this school of ministry, because we have a prime example of a leader, of a man of God that's walking with God and following after God's mandate with his whole heart. You know, so I thank God for the opportunity and the privilege just to be in association with the ministry, with the school here, because of the leadership. When you have proper leadership, there's no end to what you can do. But the worst thing you can do is to start to disrespect that leadership and not honor that leadership. And you see, that's what happened with Ham. He disrespected his father by not covering his father. It says, because if your father can get away with something, then you feel like you can also get away with it. This is why it is so important for fathers, as I stated earlier, to behave right and to teach their sons and their daughters how to conduct themselves. If you want to know what a father is doing, watch and see what their sons are doing. Because of the association, their sons are going to have the same attributes as the father, because they pick up whatever he's doing by watching, by observing, by sitting, listening, and learning. And that's why it's so very important. One of the things I pointed out in my note, it's so important it does matter who you become associated with, who you're connected with. It makes a tremendous difference in your ministry and in your life. When you want to make sure that you follow and get under whoever God called you to and stick with that. Don't be jumping up and down and flipping around and going to this particular ministry and that particular ministry. I don't follow no other ministry. I don't hardly listen to many other teaching tapes, really hardly nothing, you know, because it can cloud what you're learning. You know, you're at one level, your man of God is at one level, and then somebody else is at another level, and they may not have the revelation. And they'll start saying things or just interjecting things that'll make you doubt or make you wonder. You know, I don't want to be doubting. I don't want to be wondering. I want to stay on track, stay on target, and reach my destination of what God has called me to do. And that's so very important. It does matter who you're associated with and who you're connected with, your spiritual covering, because the same DNA that's in your spiritual father is the same DNA that's going to be in you. That's true in the natural. You know, we have our parents' DNA, the very, you know, building blocks of life, you know, our skin complexion, our hair texture, our bill, you know, all that is a product of our parents. You know, spiritually, you have the same DNA as your spiritual father. If you're connected properly and you hook up properly, what's in him should be coming on you. And so that spiritual DNA and so where he goes, guess what? That's where you should be going, because that DNA, that spiritual DNA is going to carry you in the destination that he's going, because of the connection, because of the association. One of the things, even with myself personally, you know, my physical father, he's gone home to be with the Lord, but a lot of his attributes, because of me associated with him as a child in my earlier years, I have some of the same attributes. He was always kind of a homebody. He didn't go out, play around with the fellas and go here, play pool, or he stayed home a lot, and I'm content at my house. One of the things I learned from my spiritual father is that, you know, if you have everything you need at your house, you don't have to go out for entertainment. You know, you can stay home and spend time with your family and enjoy yourself, and you don't have to be going out there. You know, I don't go to health clubs anymore. Everything I need, you know, I just recently bought not a treadmill, but I can't even think of it, another piece of equipment, you know, that most health clubs have, so I don't even have to go there, you know. I've heard him say, you know, he's got his own theater. He can watch whatever movies he wants to watch, and you know, I'm hooked up to where anything I want to watch, I can just pull it up on my computer, pull it up on my TV, on my Roku box, you know. But you learn certain things. And you grow from that, and it's all because of the connection and the things that connect you together with your spiritual father. Let me move on. You will pick up certain spiritual habits that your spiritual father has because of the association you have with him, whether those are good or bad, you know. And that's why it's so important to make sure that you're connected properly with the right spiritual covering. Ham was the father of Cana, and it says here that he saw his father's nakedness, and he went outside of the tent and he told his brothers. Okay, we don't know the implication of how he actually said it, but the author states that he said it in a way that disgraced his father. You know, I saw, you know, daddy in bed drunk, you know, while around naked. I don't know how he said it, but it wasn't in a respectful way. The author goes on to say that he mocked his father, which is a form of dishonor. The Bible says that when he told his two brothers, the implication is that he didn't say it in the right way. He made fun of his father. He spoke about his father's nakedness and his father being uncovered in a very cynical and a very facetious way. And by doing so, he sowed the seed of dishonor. Okay, let's see what happens next. It says here, whenever you have a father that is uncovered and the son speaks badly about the uncovering of their father, it opens the door for the curse that the father had initiated to come upon the son. You never want to speak, even if your pastor, even if it's your natural father, does something that might be disgraceful, you still want to cover them. You want to protect and bring them back up, or to nurture them back up to physical or to spiritual health. Because if you speak badly or inappropriately about your natural or physical father, well, then whatever disrespect, whatever dishonor that they brought upon themselves is going to roll over on you. I've seen that happen with people I know personally who, instead of taking the time to cover their pastor, to be with him and stand behind him and to get him back on course, they left and went off and did their own thing and said, you know, I don't understand why he did this or said that. And the same sin, the very same sin that the person they were sitting under fell into, I saw them fall into the exact same sin. And it wasn't many, many years hence. It was just a couple of years later, you know. And so getting back to what we talked about earlier, you don't want to put your mouth on a man of God. You want to make sure that you cover them. And we're going to see here that Noah's two other sons were more respectful. They were more honorable. And because of that, they were blessed. Noah blessed them. But Ham was cursed because of his disrespect to his father. It says, when the father becomes uncovered, the sons still must honor their father by using their anointing and their gifts to cover their father's nakedness. You know, that means, just like I was saying, you know, being there, nurturing him, being just like when Moses, during the battle, when Moses had his hands up, there were people holding his hands up. They were there working with him. I mean, that's a kind of a different illustration, but they were uplifting him. They were holding him up. You know, we need to hold our man of God's hands when the hands need to be held, when he gets tired, when, you know, we need to be there as a support to and prayer. I mean, that's a key area there, by praying. That's one way you support your man of God, through prayer, through intercession, through standing in the gap for him and for his family, you know, protecting him and make sure that hedge of protection is always around him, so that the anointing that's on their lives can be protected. Because Satan is always gonna be after to try to discredit and to bring a reproach to the ministry, you know. But as members or as supportive ministries, it's our job to nurture, undergird, protect, and like I said, intercede for our men and our women of God, so that they can continue to do the work that God has called them to do. And in doing so, you protect and you cover yourself. See, Noah's other two sons heard about their father's nakedness. Shem and Japheth came in backwards, as we read earlier, and they covered their father's nakedness. What happens next? Even though Ham was wrong, Noah, who was the king of the world, he was the man. He was the man God had ordained to repopulate the earth at that time. You know, so the author says Noah was the man. He was still anointed, even though he had made a mistake and became uncovered in his tent. When Noah woke up and he found out that his son Ham had disrespected him, it said Noah cursed not the man, but he cursed his lineage. He cursed the generations. See, one of the things about dishonor is not going to just affect you, but it's going to affect your children and your children's children. So it's very important that we do not dishonor, disrespect, be disloyal to our men or women of God, because it can affect not only you immediately, but the generations of your lineage after you. That's so very important. You know, the Bible talks about, I don't have time to get into, but there are different levels of even sin. You got sin, you got transgressions, but then you got iniquities. Now, iniquities is when there's a bending of the heart, and when you get into iniquities, that iniquity is passed on, the Bible says, to the first, the second, and the third generation. You know, sins and transgressions is when you transgress or cross the line, and an assault is a transgression because you transgress over somebody's personal space. You invaded or violated. Transgressions are when you trespass and get over on somebody's property. There's a crossing over. You stepped over the line and you committed a sin against somebody else. Sin is when you miss the mark with God, and you know what the word says, but you fall short of that. But when you get into iniquity, you get into an area where, you know, just like in here with the disobedience and the dishonor, where you actually now are affecting the generations that's coming after you, your children and your children's children. It said his lineage was cursed. All right. It goes on to say, and Noah woke and found and Noah woke from the wine, and he knew what the younger son had done, and he cursed Cana, the servant, and a servant shall thou be unto thy brethren. Sowing the seed of dishonor, as Ham did, can affect the generations after you, your children and your children's children. It will cut off the generational blessings in your lineage. The word servant means you're going to be a slave. A slave works for wages. A slave works for nothing. A slave works hard than a servant, or works harder than a servant, and yet he gets no remuneration for it. He gets no wages for it. When you sow the seed of dishonor, you work hard for the money, but you don't get paid for it. Because of the seed of dishonor, the next generations will work very hard, very, very hard, but they won't get paid for it. In other words, they're going to be a slave. The ministry that, because of dishonor, if you sow a seed of dishonor, the ministry that you're starting won't develop. It won't develop a generational seed or a generational seed of blessing. Why? Because you sowed a dishonor seed that's gonna stifle, hinder your progress because of dishonor. And you want to be able to be a blessing, and by sowing seeds of honor, you want to be able to walk into the blessing and not walk into the curse. Okay, and also too, we want to look, see what happened with the other two sons. And he says here, and then he said to the other two sons, Japheth and Shem, he says, because thou hast sown a seed of honor by providing their gift and their anointing to cover the nakedness of their father, he said, you will be enlarged. Those who show dishonor will be slaves. So the principle here is that people who show honor will grow and be enlarged. He told the other two sons, you know, you're going to be blessed. Your lineage and your families are going to be blessed. But here, Ham, because of his seed of dishonor, you're going to be cursed. You're going to be a slave, and you're going to work hard, and you won't get paid for it. Why? Because of the seed of dishonor that's going to be sown, or that was sown. So, you know, we want to always make sure that we don't disrespect, don't dishonor our men and women of God, because it will bring immediate damnation and penalty to our lives, to our families, to our very destinies. But when you sow honor, you're going to reap honor. When you sow a love offering and a seed and sow your time, sow your energy, sow your strength into a ministry, you're going to reap the blessings of life, of blessings of peace. You're going to, wherever your man of God goes, you know, as he goes, so you're going to go. Why? Because you're sowing honor. And when you use your power and what God has given you to help promote him, well, then God's going to promote you, you know, because that's just those are spiritual principles. And when you begin to operate in those spiritual principles, you cannot help but be blessed. You can't help but see the favor of God upon your lives. Now, that's why it's so important to make sure that you are God has called you to be. And don't allow yourself to get involved in gossip, in backbiting, in conversations with people that's saying anything that's disrespectful, because anything that you hear, you have to deal with. So you want to, you know, I only fellowship with people who are walking in the same direction that my man of God is walking in. If I sense that somebody has any ill will or even not quite sure about the direction of this ministry or not 100% focused in, I distance myself. Why? Because I don't want what's on them to get on. I don't want nothing to hold me back. You know, now if I can help you, I'll help you. If you want me to share the word with you, and if you don't understand something, I'll do everything I can to get you to the point where you could make a decision for yourself that, hey, I'm going with this thing. But if you have some reservations, and I'm not going to let your uncertainties rub off on me. You know, that's why, you know, association is so important, because if you associate with the wrong people, you know, either you're going to influence them or they're going to influence you, you know. And if you can't influence them, it's better just back off and find you some friends. I'll never forget this one minister came years ago, and he said, you need to find you three crazy friends. In other words, people that's sold out to what God is doing inside your ministry. And me and a good friend of mine, we always, every time we see each other, say, yeah, you one of my crazy friends. In other words, you know, we crazy enough, or we're childish. We have that, like, that childlike faith to believe what our man of God says and go with it and care less what other people say, because we know that God has a destiny for us. And when you stick close to your man of God and respect that anointing, respect and honor what God has and placed upon his life, but then you can't help but be blessed. Amen. All right, we're going to conclude here for now. But you guys be blessed, and we'll see you next week.